Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome back, 12s, to the Seahawkers podcast. Brandon Schultz and Adam Emmert here with you. Today on the show, we have Dana O'Gorman. She's the Seahawks fan writer for NFLFemale.com, and she's also the co-host of Wednesday Night with NFL Female, a podcast you can catch online. Welcome to the show, Dana.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm thrilled to be back.
I know. I should say welcome back. You know, it's obviously been way too long since we had you on last time.
A lot has happened since the last time I was on, for sure.
Yes, particular big win that was back in February, so that was exciting.
Very exciting.
Now we're on to a little bit more of a downer.
Yeah, I was going to say a more recent memory.
You know, I was reading your recent post on NFLFemale.com, Dana, and it was obvious to me that this loss... It hurt a little bit more to me, and I felt like you were kind of feeling the same thing. So why did it feel that way to you?
You know, I think that we started off the season with such a bang, you know, with that win over Green Bay and, you know, just really having that feeling from the end of last season carry over into the beginning of the season. And then we got slammed in San Diego, and it's like, okay, that was our hiccup. There it is. We're just going to let that go and move on. And then we rallied back and played so well again and against the Broncos. And, you know, it just seemed like we were getting our momentum back, and then boom, it's like we got hit in the knees again with something we thought was a blip in week two. Well, maybe now it's not such a blip. And because it happened at home against the Cowboys, who are a much improved team, I think that really cannot be overstated at this point how much better the Cowboys are this year than they have been in the past. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we saw some of those issues that we thought were just because of the heat or a blip on the radar in San Diego come to the surface again in this game against Dallas. And I think it's made a lot of us nervous.
So after all of that and the what we saw against Dallas, what's your biggest concern now about the team coming out of this game?
Well, you know, it kind of varies day to day, as strange as that sounds, but, you know, after watching the game, I was really nervous about our O-line again. You know, I think our offensive line has always been an Achilles heel of this team for a long time. Even though we have these great players, they don't always play great. But then after Pete's press conference on Monday, I'm getting a little nervous about all these minor injuries that we're having. All these little things that are starting to stack up, and we have been so lucky not to get hit by a major injury yet. And I do say yet because, you know, these minor injuries can really, you know, become something bigger. You know, losing Cam Chancellor for a couple of weeks while he heals his hip or his ankle or whichever is bothering him, you know, at the time, that would be a nightmarish blow to us. As long as Jeremy Lane and, you know, Gerald Simon are still out. And, you know, there's just all these little things that are starting to add up. They're starting to make me real nervous. At the same time, I think it's been pretty evident on Twitter with most of the 12s. I know you guys have seen it. Everyone is really frustrated with the play calling and what they're trying to do there. So there seems to be a lot of little issues that are adding up to be, you know, the elephant in the room that's going on with Seattle.
Dana, Adam here. Question about the play calling, because you kind of brought that up and how a lot of fans are seeming to have a huge problem with Daryl Bevel suddenly. Now, for me, it's kind of hard to put a lot of blame on him when you consider that the defense just can't get off the field. So if they are never getting the ball back to the offense, what is it that Daryl Bevel's supposed to do that is going to turn around the fortunes of the offense?
You know, I agree with you. At the same time, I think it's the little snippets that we are seeing from the offense doesn't look like a team that we know. And I think that that's where a lot of that is coming from people is the fact that we are supposedly a run-first team, and yet in our two losses, Marshawn Lynch is sitting on the bench. And, you know, the fact that Percy Harvin is a wide receiver, and yet we use him as a running back almost exclusively. I think it's those kind of decisions that are making people question Bevel, but you're absolutely right. He hasn't been able to have a drive to be able to prove that he has, you know, there's a way to his madness this season. You know, we haven't been able to quite do that yet. I agree with you about the defense. I'm very nervous at the thought of Bobby Wagner having turf toe, because we know how important he is to that defense. And when he's not on the field, even in those few plays that he was not on the field, there is a huge difference. You pony that up with Cam not having the explosiveness that he's used to, and the fact that now Byron Maxwell is hurt, it makes me so nervous. But you're right. It's not Gerald Bevel's fault that the defense is sitting there for so long. Yet, I cannot stress enough, I really, truly believe the Seahawks need to go back to what they are and who they are. You know, no more trick plays. Yes, it was very fun to see Russell Wilson catch a touchdown, but at the same time, I think we need to go back to what has done us so good for so long. I do think, though, that what one thing that they're trying to do is change things up. And I think that that is mostly because we've been doing the same thing for a few years now, and it has been working, but teams, of course, catch up in the NFL. They're a copycat league. They watch as much film as we watch. And so, therefore, you know, they start to figure out what we're doing, and they're starting to become, you know, have an answer for that. And so I think they're trying to switch things up. Just really don't think it's working.
So you mentioned the linebackers. You mentioned the secondary and the injuries involved there. We haven't talked about the defensive line. Where's the biggest concern? What position group do you point to?
I'm sorry, you cut out for just a second. We're talking about the secondaries and the linebackers, but what position group?
Yeah, we talked about the linebackers, and we talked about the injuries in the secondary, but there's also the defensive line and the pass rush. So we're not really seeing the pass rush that we've seen in the past years. Which position group are you more worried about among those three?
Well, I agree with you. We're not seeing the pass rush. I'm still more concerned about the secondary. I just don't think our depth is there to be able to fend off like we've always been able to fend off those big plays, those, you know, 20-plus yarders. The pass rush isn't quite the same. You're absolutely right. I think we are really, really feeling the loss of Red Bryant right now. And I know people talk about Chris Clemons. Chris Clemons has been one of my favorite football players for years. And yet at the same time, it was Red, I think, that really kind of opened up those alleyways for Cliff Averill and Michael Bennett to do what they did last year. And we just don't quite have that. I love Brandon Mebane. It's nothing against him. It's just different. I just think that there's something missing there. And yet, we still seem to get pretty good pressure. You're right, the sacks aren't there quite as much. I think once Bruce Irvin gets a little bit more rolling again, because he's been so on and off with injuries, I think we'll see more out of him. I was pretty impressed with his play this last game. And so, really, truly, my concern is in the thinness of the secondary is where that kind of makes me the most nervous.
All right, well, let's talk about something positive for just a minute. We saw some good sportsmanship between Dez Bryant and Richard Sherman toward the end of the game. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, if you listen to the press that was coming up, you know, the week prior to this game, they were both very complimentary to each other in the press. And I think that that just comes from a respect level that they know their jobs. They know how hard it is to be one of the best in the league week in and week out. And they give each other credit for what they do. And that is really nice to see. You know, we hear so much negative all the time, especially about Sherm. Hello, as Seahawks fans, we hear all the negative about Sherm. Even though he is my favorite player, people love to tell me everything he does wrong. Uh-huh. And so, but at the same time, Jeff Bryant gets a lot of crap too, you know, and all the trouble that he had for so many years and everything. So I think that they get it. They have a bit of a camaraderie there that they understand they're there to do a job. They are two of the best at their jobs and the pressure that that brings. And so I just think that there's just a mutual respect there between the two of them. I wish we saw more of that between all kinds of players, you know, throughout the whole team instead of just these two guys that stand out so much.
All right, so injuries in the secondary. We talked about, we saw Byron Maxwell go down. You know, Jeremy Lane's been out. We saw Therald Simon is still out, and, you know, Cam Chancellor's injured. How bad does the secondary have to get before you give Champ Bailey a call?
Okay, so that is hysterical because I actually tweeted that Sunday night. I'm like, so who's calling Champ? Like, somebody's picking up the phone, right? I don't know. You know, I really think we have to see what happens when, you know, with Simon coming back and Lane coming back and seeing if they can really fill those holes. They've been gone. They haven't been playing. They're not going to be quite up to speed. And I think that that's a major concern. I think that's why Pete said in his presser that they were always looking, because if one or two games in and they aren't doing the job, they've got to find someone to replace it. Now, will it be Champ? I don't know. But, you know, he's a great veteran, you know, out there. But he's a veteran. We all know Champ is on the tail end of his career.
Yep. So, Adam is shaking his head across the
table. Oh, God. The thought of Champ Bailey coming in is the most terrifying thing in the world. He couldn't even crack the Saints secondary this year, and they are atrocious on defense this year. The last person in the world I want to see come in is Champ Bailey. To me, I feel like we really should just have some patience and wait for guys like a Jeremy Lane to come back, a Thurl Simon to come back. I think Burley's actually played pretty well, for as much as people want to rag on him. Maxwell will be back in a couple of weeks. It's just a calf strain. Do you see any similarities, Dana, between all these injuries in the defensive backfield this year compared to last year with all of our injuries on the offensive line?
You know, you're absolutely right. And like I said earlier, we have been so lucky that we haven't had, you know, a Victor Cruz injury or some of these huge, you know, season-ending injuries. They are just mostly a few weeks at a time. I agree with you completely. I've been impressed with Burley. For someone who just got literally thrown in and said, please go save our, you know, fishes, and he did. You know, as hit or miss as he's been more hit than miss. And so I'm impressed with that guy for the sheer guts to just go in and play the best he can. I think that that's fantastic. I think the biggest worry that people have is we don't necessarily have the time to just wait these out. We don't have the time to, you know, see how it goes in our division. We're already in third place in our division, which is something very foreign, especially to newer Seahawks fans. You know, we usually are right in there competing. And this year, it really truly looks like Arizona and San Francisco are playing at a higher level than us. And that doesn't sit well with people. So they get impatient. And so that waiting the few weeks for Simon to settle in, for Lane to come back, for Maxwell to be healed, Zach Miller at that point, you know, he's a great blocker, and so we could really use him on the offensive side. And so people get a little antsy. They don't necessarily want to wait it out. But I don't believe we'll see Champ Bailey in a Seahawks uniform anytime soon.
So you mentioned it, 3-2 right now, and now the Seahawks are going on the road for two games, not to mention the fact they're going to be 11 a.m. starts, which, you know, I feel like we've kind of moved on past that. But how important is it for a win against the Rams on Sunday?
Oh, I think it's absolutely paramount. I think that if the Seahawks go into St. Louis and lose, there will be mutiny among the fans. And it will also be a pretty serious damage to the psyche of this team. I don't know what's going on. You can kind of feel it, you know. Doug Baldwin yelled at Russell Wilson off the sideline. And if you read lips, you can see what he was saying was, this is your offense, take control. But the fact that it got to that point is really surprising, because it usually never gets to that point, even in a loss. And so you can feel that the frustration starting to build with this team. And Earl Thomas can keep telling us that, you know, he's getting his championship mindset back. I really think they're trying. There just seems to be something missing. And if they go into St. Louis and lose to, you know, and it was a tough game last year. I was actually at the Edward Jones Dome last year when they barely squeaked that game out. And so, you know, that's a tough place for us to play. But if they go in there and lose, I think that it will be a huge knock to the psyche of the fans and the team.
You know, one thing that concerns me about the Rams, we've seen them on multiple occasions this year get out to an early lead, and then they end up folding, which, but are you worried that one of these weeks they're going to just figure it out and get out to that early lead and they aren't going to look back?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me, you know, especially with this, you know, their young quarterback, he's just getting better every game. And so eventually it's going to click for all four quarters. I really, really hope it's not on Sunday. I really hope that it waits an extra couple of weeks, you know. But at the same time, you just never know with this team. The thing of it is the Seahawks are very good at coming back. They're very good in the fourth quarter. We know, we've heard a million times, you don't win the game until the fourth quarter. And so, and I think they truly believe that. They fight till the end. At the same time, on the road, it's always much harder to fight to the end than it would be, let's say, in CenturyLink. Mm-hmm. Although that didn't work out so well for us this last week either. But I really think that the Rams, we on our podcast, we always say, on paper, it's very shiny. They look fantastic on paper. And yet they've got the same injury issues that we have. They are not clicking on defense much like we are. And they have this, you know, baby-esque quarterback who really, truly is just learning the system. And so I do believe that the Seahawks can win that game. They should win that game. I hope that they're as wound up as the fans are, because I think that that will really help them push back and pass the road woes. But I think, honestly, if they go in, if for some reason they lose, it could be trouble.
Well, I really want to thank you for coming on the show, Dana. And can you tell people where to find your show if they want to have a listen?
Absolutely. We are on every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central Time on Blog Talk Radio, which then you can always find us on iTunes afterwards. And you can find NFLFemale.com has links to all of our podcasts on the website also. And then you can talk to me directly on Twitter if you'd like to. It's at Dana OG, D-A-Y-N-A-O-G. And I'll be happy to talk Seahawks football to anybody.
All right, Dana. Well, thanks again for coming on the show, and go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.